right, good afternoon. This is the monthly meeting of the Board of Water Commissioners, Cotuit Fire District Water Department. It is April 18th. It is 6:01. All three commissioners are here, along with the water superintendent and the office manager are in attendance. Do we have any open comment, public comment? Having heard none, we'll go over the minutes. And we have two sets of minutes here, one from our regular meeting and one from the workshop we had last week, I believe. First one we'll look at is for 3/21/18.
Neither is the font getting smaller.
Need new cartridge, it's getting lighter too.
Looks like it was done on purpose. Smaller font.
Yeah. Do we have a motion on the first one?
Yeah, I motion that the minutes of the meeting of
March 21st,
2018 be accepted as submitted.
I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye. Quick question. Have we ever charted water usage, you know, like a 5-year line over time versus this year?
You mean we can?
Yeah, I'd love to see that.
Yeah, we have a book that has every year monthly how much we use. We could do a monthly chart. It wouldn't be much to do, I don't believe, to set up a program. You want a 5-year comparison or a 10?
Something with the longer average than 1 year. This year compared to, I don't know, 10-year average. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Total for each year or by month?
Yeah, just, you know, month for the 10-year average versus this year.
Yeah, okay.
That should be stuff that's going to be done for the cost of service study anyway.
Yeah.
It'll be easy to pull up.
Plates weren't working.
questions, Nick?
No, I don't have any questions. I'll make a motion if everyone's done reading it to approve the minutes of our special meeting on 4/11/2018.
I'll second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So the minutes are done. Warrants? And while we're signing the warrants, and well, the office manager is here, everyone's here, find out, because before the meeting started, Chris was telling me that there's a, got an email from the treasurer about...
Yeah, basically, he's saying that we could bypass you guys signing the warrants to pay bills and have just, according to him, Prudential Committee is the only one that has to sign to pay the bills. And I'm not positive on that. I believe state law states that you guys have to sign beforehand, before you guys have to review all bills before they go to the treasurer.
Yeah, I have a problem with looking at them.
Yeah. His theory was that bills would be paid on time. We might accrue late fees now, things like that. I think you had the email, didn't you?
Yeah, Rod, I got it in here. One of these piles of my stuff.
Have we ever accrued any late fees? Or?
We have had a couple that we have had discussion with, because we thought that they were submitted to them in plenty of time to be paid.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, them not receiving a payment until 2 weeks after we turned a warrant in didn't make sense to us, why we would have to pay for a late fee when we turned it over to the proper people 2 weeks before. So it just seems, you know, all our bills have previous balances when they come out almost on them, and they're submitted well before the due date.
So which raised a question to me, and I expressed it to Chris. We receive bills over the course of a month in the mail. We meet once a month. We're given all the bills that have been received to date at that time. And we sign the warrants. They're turned over to the treasurer. I don't know how there's any late fees occur. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it doesn't. I agree. It doesn't make any sense at all. I mean,
and if there's something that's coming up that's really important, we get a phone call and we go down between the monthly meeting and we sign it.
Yeah, and we pay, our bills are paid every 2 weeks, basically. So there's nothing with a 30-day notice that shouldn't be able to be paid if we're paying them every 2 weeks.
I think it's important that the commissioners in their role as providing oversight to the water department sign the warrants. And I don't know what the bylaws state,
state law supersedes the bylaws. State law can be interpreted that we're responsible to sign them.
I believe the bylaw was changed probably 2 years ago, 3 years ago, that the fire department did not want to oversee them. They wanted to be able to give them right to the treasurer to be paid.
The fire department?
Yes, the fire commissioners didn't want to review them. They didn't think they had to. So they changed the bylaw, I believe, for them. We are not mentioned in the bylaw, only the fire commissioners are, that I believe. Check at this upcoming bylaw committee meeting.
So other than a possible penalty because a bill doesn't get paid, is there any objections to us overseeing the warrants and approving?
I don't believe there's any objections.
motion on this, or?
What I'm going to do is, when I go to the meeting next Wednesday, I'm going to question to see if there's a, in the bylaw that it, that it, releases us from our responsibility as water commissioners to sign the warrant. And then I'm going to have a copy of the state law with me and see if they reconcile. If they don't, the state law has to supersede.
Sure. No, I understand.
And I'll look again. I think that this would be a chapter 41,
yeah.
Section 56. But I'll have to look at the actual law set, the copy I have right here, and find out if it's open to translation. Some of it is, you know, offices or their designee and different things. So I don't know how. I'm not positive if they're considering in the law here, the special committee being the actual money people.
Mm-hmm.
It could be different. I'll look through a little more and see what I got, get a copy there.
Mm-hmm.
People and see what they think.
The water quality report.
All right, all samples from March came back negative, total coliform. I will let you know that at 4:40 this evening, I got a phone call from the lab that we got a total coliform hit from yesterday's sample down at Station 3. We haven't been running Station 3. The guys went down, ran it for a little while, flushed it off. Informed me that they thought it was real dirty. They told me that this afternoon when I was talking to them. They let it run for like 45 minutes down there until it got cleaned up, took a sample. We had one total coliform colony or hit, no E. coli. So I have to go back and do, I'm not sure if it's, I told her I'd do the stuff in the morning, but I'm not positive if it's the raw water or if it's the treated water. If it's the treated water, I have to go upstream, downstream. If it's the raw water, I have to just go down, repeat 5 different samples or something to that effect. I have to look it up. One cause, you have to go one way, one you got to go another way. So I have a feeling it's just because it hasn't been run for a while. It's probably iron bacteria or manganese bacteria that's there. I think with a good flushing off, making sure that the coliform, the chlorine pump's running down there, when we go to take the upstream and downstream, we'll go from there and make sure it's everything's working at least. And get the repeat sample tomorrow and I can inform you if there's any further need for anything.
We haven't been running it because the
we've had the line system's been down. We had a company that sells the pump, had a guy come down and look at it. He's been very unreliable. He was supposed to have someone here within the first 2 weeks of April to install the parts. I sent him an email last Thursday saying, okay, you know, it's been the first 2 weeks, do we have a date yet? And he hasn't responded to that email yet either. So I basically either got to call the company and just say, hey, is there anybody else around that can help me out here? He came crying to me with, you know, I can't keep help. Everybody's new. I want to make sure I send you my good guy, you know, and everything else. So it's just one excuse after another, but we'll get it moving.
Well, the bottom line, his problem shouldn't become our problem.
Correct. Correct.
And I think it needs to be impressed upon him that if we're going to be suffering problems because he's not getting his job done, that's not satisfactory to us.
Right. He will get a phone call tomorrow.
Okay.
You know, this really just forces me into more, give him a little more, you know, see, now he told you, this is what happened.
And that was at the same station four.
That was station three. So we were down in the center of town. Yeah, down there.
But station three had the coliform hit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the one I said that, you know, we hadn't been running for a little while.
Yeah.
So when they test the samples and they come up with, they hit what they call a coliform hit, can they determine, like you say, is it a manganese or is it a, they can't determine that from that?
No, they can tell you that it's, a total coliform is a broad term. They can tell you that whatever's there can grow more. You got to take care of it now and fight it now before it becomes, it could be anything. It could be, like I said, iron bacteria. There's bacteria in water all the time, whether it's good, whether it's bad, or anything. But it's something that can turn bad by with the total coliform. Once it sits and makes up that little mark that they have, I think they do a petri with red dots or something like that. They only found one. She said, so it's not real bad.
So one colony.
Yeah. Yeah, just one.
And no E. coli.
No E. coli.
E. coli is a bad thing.
Right. And we used to have that problem quite a bit before we were putting in the chlorine.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't really had it since we've been putting in the chlorine. So I think this is just the one situation with it being offline like that. And I have a feeling that chlorine pump wasn't pumping when they did it. I haven't had a chance to talk to the guys yet that did the sample. But I have a feeling that it probably wasn't pumping. It probably had ceased up. It hasn't run so long, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, even if they knew, even if it was going, but whether it really was working or not, we don't know.
Yeah.
Because you it pumps so slow, you don't really know over the time that they were running it, if it was sucking it down or not.
That chlorine's got to be hard on pumps.
As a matter of fact, I measured it myself down there, and there wasn't any difference in it. So, no, there was no chlorine pumped into it. Other than that, everything else was fine all March.
Okay.
So April, I'll give you an update next month on that if everything's cleared up, everything.
Okay. Well, the superintendent's report.
Okay. All right. Superintendent's report. In March of 2017, we pumped 8,219,000. In March of 2018, we pumped 8,750,000. That's wrong.
I was so excited.
That's wrong. I'm sorry. I think it was 6,750,000.
No.
Because we had a 2,731,000 gallon difference again. But it was cold, rainy. Miserable.
Everyone's out doing yard work.
Right. We had 2 inches less of rain, or more rain this year, excuse me, than last year. We had 4 inches of rain last year, and this year it was 2. So, I didn't think it could get worse than last year, and it's getting worse. right now. So, like I said, I don't know what's going to happen in the next 6 months. You know, maybe we'll start having, but you could just tell by looking. We went down to Station 3 today, a little kettle hole, I guess we'll say.
Yeah.
It's like a little frog pond
little pool
down there. Little kettle hole.
In a kettle pond.
It's usually way, way back. It's at least 20 feet higher up to the pumping station right now. It's ridiculous how I've never seen it that high in 30 years. The water table's up. We got water, standing water behind the water department beside it that I haven't seen in years. So, I mean, the table's way up there right now. It's ridiculous.
Okay. Yeah.
We didn't put any new services in or replacement services in March. I gave you guys a quick update on the handbook last month. Just to let you know, I did drop it off at Attorney Michael Pierce's office in Hyannis, and he's going to review the whole thing. He was quite impressed by it and said, this is probably the largest one I've ever seen. So he's going to look at it and see what he thinks should be there, shouldn't be there, if it's everything is legally right and everything. And give us suggestions to us. I told him he had to the end of the month to do it.
So my only question about that, which I'm glad this could, you know, be done. If we get this completed and we're happy and satisfied, which I expect with our handbook, are we going to run into problems with the rest of the district yet? Some people want us to comply with what they believe should be in a handbook, like sick time usage, maternity leave, and all that other stuff.
He's going to let us know by law what we can do and what we can't. So he's going to give us his legal opinion about it, which being with the sick time, with paid leave time, anything like that.
Just to get you up to date, the policy committee lead is pushing to adopt our sick leave policy district-wide. So for the fire department and the prudential committee employees, they wanted to go district-wide. I brought the pages from our handbook into that last policy meeting and said we already have the policy, so we really don't need to amend ours. So I don't know whether that policy recommendation will go forward, and if it goes forward, whether it will be adopted. But that's kind of...
Yeah, and whether that's... You know, we'll find out at the end of the month here whether that's the problem.
Yeah.
You know, we contradicted in our handbook. We said you can only use sick time for sick time, and then over here it said you can take accrued sick time. Oh, it said you can take any accrued paid leave
for sick time.
For paid leave or whatever for disability.
So it was up to the employee whether they wanted to take their vacation first or they take sick time, but if they were sick, they could take the sick time.
Right. If they were sick, what it came down to basically is I'm trying to think of the actual words. I think they were in the meeting notes from last meeting. Parental leave rights is what it is.
Yeah.
So... No. Parental leave rights say that you can take any accrued leave time to use. Ours says you can take sick time and something else there, but you can't use sick time. So it's always been, that's the way it was always written, that sick time is only for sick time. Well, we had to figure out which one overran which. So this is why he's looking at it and everything, saying, and myself, I'll do whatever they tell me I have to do. That's all. I just have to, have something to stand on.
Yeah.
That's all.
The bottom line, we're not going to do anything illegal.
Correct. Yes, thank you.
So with that in mind, he said that he'd have that done by the end of April.
Yep.
And do you have another meeting come up before the district meeting?
Maybe.
Put that in your committee?
Not that I know of. They haven't scheduled one.
Okay.
You haven't seen anything, have you, Jim?
So at the end of April, if we get it, if you want to look at that read through and any markup that the employer has to see if it affects anything for that.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
And then if it needs to be forwarded to that particular committee, if they want to take action on it, they should take on the most recent action.
All right. My other thing here, Valley Communications, I talked to you a little bit about, I think, last month. They have finished their putting in all their cabinets and everything. Now, they have been paid. Their portion is done. Now we have to wait on Comtrak to get in here. They've had messages left for them to come in, take the fiber, and bring it into them panels that are there.
Yeah.
At that point, we go to Open Cape, and they'll come hook us up to the system.
Okay.
They're waiting. They've already actually called Jen and told Jen, you know, hey, where are you guys? You know, we just don't want you guys to get lost.
We don't want to get lost. We've been lost too long.
Right. Tower North, Tuesday, they're going to be out there doing a walkthrough with potential, not clients, but contractors. They want to get a price to do the work out there, so they're going to be doing a walkthrough with people on Tuesday morning up there. So if you see anybody parked and walking around, that's what they're doing over there. They have already staked out the road going in. There was a little bit of delay because they weren't sure if that was an ancient way there, who owned the road, who didn't own the road. They went through and they couldn't find it on a deed anywhere, anything about the road. So they ended up just giving them permission to do what they had to do down through the 10-foot access road. But that's at least going on. They're still going head over. They want to get it done.
Is that going to be 20-foot wide? Is that
a 10, I believe.
10?
Maybe it's 10 on both sides of that. When I looked today, it said 10-foot, but maybe it said 10-foot both sides. I'll look again. I'll look again.
They're going to need something a little bit bigger than that to get their crane in there to do their work.
Yeah.
It may be allowed to encroach back into 10 feet over time.
Right.
So it has to be wider than that to get to the construction.
Sure.
The other thing, because of our bad experience with contractors and stuff like that with the solar fields, we want to make sure that they're very accurate with their staking and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We want to make sure they're in the right spot. They're not going to be off. They're not going to give anyone any reason to go crazy.
Okay.
Yeah, and the plan was pretty specific on the width of that road.
Yeah.
Right.
And how
right.
it would be sloped.
Yeah.
You know, where the drainage would run to.
Yeah. And speaking of...
Actually, it was pretty specific. I remember that, yeah.
Yeah.
That access in that area, I have finally got all three prices, or at least three prices for markings that back north
cool.
corner.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
They go from almost $8,000 down to $4,450. So the lowest one is Green Seal, who actually did the solar project and everything, and had some people come
and
in.
Had some work done already.
Yeah, and I'm surprised because the people that did the actual job there, I contacted them three times, and the guys just never sent me a price.
Hmm.
And they were the ones that did the remediation from when we had the NTP years ago. They came down here from off Cape.
Yeah.
Nice bunch of people, but and the guys were great when they were in there. The guy was real nice to me, but he just never did. So I can give them a call. I don't know if you guys, how quickly you want me to do it, get right on it or not. I'll wait till the end of the month. I don't.
Well, I wanted to be not so much in a rush about that because we've got so many other things we have to get ready. I want to make sure all these stuff we have to have ready for the district meeting and the tower and all that stuff is taken care of.
Right. So I do have these at least, and I can give the guy a call and tell him, hey, we're going to let you do it. Just, you know.
We have money in the budget for it.
Yeah, I can always take this
year.
And encumber it if I have to.
You can absorb that.
At the end of the year, if they can't get in there before the end of this fiscal year. I can always make sure there's enough money in there that I can encumber the
You can encumber it. Yeah.
Yeah, I can use this under legal and engineering.
Engineering. So it's $25,000 in it.
Yep.
How much work is that for us?
Two.
For us to, I mean, Don expressed his concern that if we have them start now, or if we tell them come, you know, come get that done for us, that we've got a lot of balls in the air right now, and we might get distracted by their work or something.
I just, with the things that we got going on right now, I just think that we'd start getting overrun as soon as they saw somebody out there marking that line.
I think the phones would start ringing again and everything else.
I think that's something we ought to just hold off until we get a couple things off to the side so we can prepare ourselves before.
We might even want
to just send a letter out to them, saying, do a little preventive or something. Don't be alarmed, but we're just sending some people, there's going to be some people in the back. It's not for any kind of construction. It's only for boundary purposes.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the survey of that back line that was encroached upon and that they expressed some concern about.
Yeah.
And
we want everybody to know where that is, and
we're going to protect it.
I got someone to write a letter like you wouldn't believe, very eloquent and everything.
Good idea.
Yeah.
You're outdoing yourself today with the report, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. That's all I have. That ends my report.
How about on old business? You just mentioned boundary survey. Have we heard anything from the shed guy?
Yeah, I understand. I was going to give that another.
Wow, that's a trifecta. Tom asked me that today. John asked me that today.
Oh, God, shed.
Yeah.
I have not heard from them again since they said they were coming, and I can break down here. I will make a phone call also.
I know he's been down because I've seen him there.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, no, he was down last weekend, and I think he was down the weekend before. Anyway, there's somebody, an older gentleman, no, I shouldn't say older, that's me, but a gentleman working in the yard, around. So they've been around.
Okay. Old business. Chemical safety upgrade project update.
Yes. We have kept things going. They've cleaned Station 2. They have taken everything out of Station 1. We're up to two change orders right now. First one being when they took Station 1 apart, the opening that was underneath the plate is too small. It's not wide enough to even put the machine in to purge it or to reline, if they ever had to reline the well or anything. It was just too small. So we had to get a guy over with a coring machine, drill a bigger hole in there, open everything up a little bit. That cost us a little over $4,000.
Okay.
They had to put a balloon down in there, inflate it up so that nothing would fall in, then vacuum it all out and everything else and bring it out. It's quick. Cool. I get the pictures if you want to see it. Yeah, neat how cool it was. But after that, they took out the motors, and each one of the motors is going to cost a little over around seven grand to either dip to clean, basically steam clean them, get everything out, or it's $12,000 for a brand new one. So I said, well, we got the money there. It's either paying. You know, for another $10,000, put the brand new ones in. Don't be worried. I'm not going to have to. One of them's been cleaned up already once, at least. And the other one's from 1992 anyways when it went in. So let's put new ones in, start there. One of the motors is 50 years old. That was theirs original. Got to put a new motor in. So
that
we're up to about
anything.
We're up to about $35,000 in change orders right now. We have the money there. There's money for contingencies there. Because of the lowerness, the lower of the bid too, it's there. It's a good thing everything came in like it did. So we just signed those today, those change orders, or the change directives, and then the change order comes later.
Any, you anticipate any other changes down the road, or we?
I really don't, tell you the truth, unless, I don't, this is where I thought they would happen. I kind of knew when they took it out, they had to, like, they got to overhaul one of the motors. It's going to cost $2,000 to do.
Yeah.
You know, but you don't just take it out. You take it in, you inspect, you make sure it's nice, it's good, then they clean everything out. They're not going to rebake it, I don't think, because it's in good, great condition. So they just basically clean out everything. They're not rewinding anything, so it just gets overhauled, basically. And like I said, the other one that's 50 years old, we're going to put a brand new efficiency motor in, which will help out
the electric.
Yeah.
You can't sell it as an antique?
No, but there was a disposal fee on there, too, and I'm wondering to myself, I wonder if they're getting money for that. You know, I bet you they're not, just, how are they disposing it? Yeah.
A 50-year-old motor has to have 100 pounds of copper.
I know, right? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I know where they're disposing of it, yeah.
So angioplasty on a well,
basically, yeah.
Good.
They're supposed to be there tomorrow to start purging well number one and okay. cleaning that one. That's my update there.
Okay. And cost of survey study update, cost of services study update. So we have a number of things with that. There was supposed to be a meeting last Friday. It got put off to this upcoming Friday. There's been some communication from Tatum Howard, which Chris should have. Also, I got some communication from the treasurer's office. And I've met with the treasurer today and again with Chris again today. To make sure when that meeting comes, we're trying to make sure all the stuff that we want to accomplish by this survey is going to be accomplished, and making sure that we're all within the four corners of the request, the proposal request, because there's a specific amount of money for a list of items that were put down there, and now people are talking about some other things. I'll make sure they're covered within the scope of those 13 options.
You're saying that there's additional.
Well, they're asking for stuff in maybe different words, but
who,
maybe covered.
Is that paid in hour?
No, the treasurer.
Oh.
And not the Prudential.
No, the treasurer actually said something at the meeting we went to. He had some, make sure some things are covered. He wanted to know, like, what are the full cost expenditures that the water department should be recovering by rates. He wanted to have to differentiate between what the water rates cover for the production of water for people that use it versus the production of water for fire that can be covered by taxes, which is going to be in there. I know that's part of the process.
Yeah.
Just he put it in a different way. He wanted to know about the weather trends and if the rate adjustment will be covering the cost over time. So we have, like, two summers ago, we had high temperatures and low water. We used a lot of water. There was a lot of income. Last year it went down the tubes. But if the rate could be set that over a period of time, it would show a recovery, you know, cover itself over time, which I think, again, is going to be covered by the stuff that's in that the request. But I'm just going to make sure that we sit down and go over all that stuff, that we're all on the same page, because we can't ask them now to do more than what they've agreed to do, because
right.
we're tied into a dollar amount.
But I think those two items anyway.
I'm pretty sure they are, yeah. So the meeting is at 10 o'clock Friday. I'm going to be there.
10 o'clock?
Yeah.
10 a.m.
10 a.m. Friday at the office. We'll have the only thing that we really have to work on, or you guys really should think about also, they ask for a capital improvement plan. So anything that you guys can think
needs to go in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I can get you, you know, age of vehicles, if you need. We talked many times about treatment. It's going to come down the line for manganese. Oh, speaking of that, maybe I should.
Chris, just a quick question. Will they look at the age of our water mains and put that as, you know, this one's been around in the ground for 100 years, do we need to replace the pipe there, or do we have to bring that up to them?
I don't believe that's included in the scope that we gave them, any kind of infrastructure.
Okay.
Looking at.
But they're asking us for.
Yeah, I mean, the oldest we have is 1936. That's the original stuff that leaves 28 and heads down by ear, basically down to the fines. So that's old cast iron modern main that goes through.
Not all of that tree trunk.
Right, right. So, you know,
so those over time build up line deposit inside. So dimension.
Yeah, every time we do a coupon from when we put something in, like we'll just say the guy over here is going to be possibly putting a new fire hydrant, moving a fire hydrant, and I told him he had to, you know, do a coupon cut out and everything. We'll look at that when they do something like that, and we haven't had any of them that are just in bad condition. You know, we've been pretty lucky. Most everything is cement lined. We have a couple that supposedly are bitumen lined. We have very little paper pipe, what do you want to call it? Asbestos. There's just a very small section, about 900 feet, I think it is, maybe a little more.
One of the things I think about when we talk about replacing water systems is that it would be, if there's a plan in the village to do any road maintenance. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So if there's a plan, they're going to repave a section from A to Z and do a look up the history of that, what's under the ground, is it old, is it new, is it something we might want to, and then try to do something that corresponds with that. So while the road can be dug up, line replaced, and then it's all paved over all at one time, and we're not making a mess.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of awesome. We'll call and let me know usually when the plans are, what they plan on doing. Like when they were going to do School Street, we jumped on there and increased the size of the water main, ran a new water main beside the old one, and brought it right out because there was a small section that was 6-inch there.
Yeah.
And we increased it, put a new section of 8-inch over to the other 8-inch to keep everything out flow. And turned all the surfaces over to the new one.
Yeah.
So, and we try to do that too. We try to replace all sidelines if they're going to be repaving a road to make sure that nothing will be leaking or anything like that.
So unless you have some sort of catastrophic failure of a line.
Right.
You know, I always thought that would be, I mean, you're the one that told me a long time ago that works out really well for you.
Yeah.
To coincide with other work being done.
Mm-hmm.
Piggybacking, like when they did the work down here at the court.
Correct. Yeah.
Chris, we probably don't know, but I mean, you said that one line was 75 years ago. Since we changed the chemicals that we put into those lines, has that affected the integrity of them?
When I first started, we started putting hexametaphosphate in, which was a sequestering agent.
Mm-hmm.
It would keep all iron clear, so it didn't go from a ferrous to ferric or ferric to ferric.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. It wasn't a solid form.
Yeah.
It just kept it clear. It was always there, but it was just held in suspension. That's actually something that's possible to do now.
Mm-hmm.
If with the iron and manganese, it's just another thing to put in the stations. I don't know where we would ever put it.
Yeah.
Because you have to have two 50-gallon drums, basically, for something like that, and another injection port.
So the line or the chlorine doesn't have an impact on the integrity of those pipes?
The line's supposed to scale it a little bit, and we have had some sections where you can see it, but not others.
Okay.
The problem is the chlorine starts bringing out the manganese in it, so you'll start seeing manganese then. And each time, you know, each chemical adds a different reaction, and if they all mix, I'm not a chemist right now. I couldn't tell you if,
yeah.
If we bring the pH up so high, then we add the chlorine in, if we put the sequestration, it would do anything.
So is the space that's available for you at the water department is not sufficient to do stuff that we foresee being coming up in the future?
Not right now. No.
At all?
No. We cannot put anything else in those stations right now.
So if we were to just start kicking around the idea of building another structure somewhere just for the mixing and feeding of chemicals into the system, we have lots of land.
Yes. I actually was talking to Tom a little about that today. If we did any kind of, say, ion filtration or anything like that, we would manifold stations 1, 2, and 4 into one building, run all of them to one building, pump it out of there after everything, and send it out to the town with line, with filtration, with, you know, it would probably be filtration hit with a dose of, it would probably not be lime anymore. We'd probably have to go to potassium hydroxide, and it would probably be hit with a dose of chlorine on the way out.
So if we decide that if that becomes a, I think it's going to be a feasible thing to do, a necessary thing to do in the future, we could, that could be something to look forward to as an improvement of the system.
Yes. Yes.
And which would clean up the space you're using right now for other stuff that.
Right. Could put them back to feed pump stations.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you'd have to tie all those three pump houses together.
Yeah.
And send all that water to the treatment plant.
Right.
That's a
treatment plant would come out with like a 16-inch water main, probably pumping out 1,500 gallons a minute.
And that's kind of why I asked Jen and you to put this little newspaper clipping in our packet. Expect to pay more for water from the, this was from Cape Cod Enterprise, one of those little newspapers that's active down Cape. And just under the picture there of that pump station, that's a treatment facility. And now that's in Harwich, so a larger district. You know, they're treating more water in the stations, but they're talking $9 million for that, to treat for iron and manganese.
Wow.
You know, so, I mean, if you want to put that kind of business in a capital improvement plan, if that's the kind of thing that Tate and Howard are looking at for becoming part of a rate survey, I think, you know, it's a good place to start to call these folks down in Chatham and Harwich and say, okay, what are those, you know, how much water is each one treating, how much iron do you have in your water and manganese, what's it taking to get rid of it?
Are there certain standards for the type of building you have, too? The structure, is it a space building, or is it going to be, you know, a block building? Or
it's probably going to be a block, it would be a block building, I would imagine, because you got chlorine, I would say, in there, unless you wanted some kind of ultraviolet or something. But
you'd have to have drainage inside and all that, the ventilation.
You know,
and
correct,
potassium
yeah.
hydroxide, you're
going
to have
to
secure system.
Yeah.
Secure building.
Yeah.
I forget, how far of a look forward is Tatum and Howard interested in? 5 years, 10 years? I mean, we can't go too far with this rate study. Is that in the contract?
That was 5 years, wasn't it?
5 year plan.
Yeah.
So we should be looking at.
Well, I think they were looking at going back 5 years for like the trends.
Sure.
So.
But going forward.
It wasn't.
I mean, that'd be a good question. How far forward do they want to look? Yeah.
I'm kind of wondering on the water mains and the hydrants, some capital improvement. Is there a kind of a standard industry operating procedure for percent of the water mains that should be replaced annually? And we're talking, we have lines in the village that are...
Yeah. It's tough because right now we don't have anything fail.
Yeah.
And even the older stuff is still in good condition. It's 5 feet underground now.
Hmm.
You know, with
you
the,
don't
the,
want
the,
enough
you know,
with
I'm
it.
Not, yeah, you know, I'm not, I'm, it's fine as far as I'm concerned because I can't see anything.
Yeah.
You know, what's happening down there, do we have the acidic soil starting to eat the outside?
Yeah.
You know, the inside I know is clean. You know, we're not getting, when we flush it, we're not getting chunks of stuff out,
yeah.
You know, like solid stuff. We're not getting tubercules coming out or anything like that. But we are getting dirty water. But that's just sitting in the bottom of the water main.
If there's a problem with the hydrant, you will see water. You get wet around the hydrant.
Yeah. Yeah. And hydrants, we actually went through and made sure we put gates on every single one that was out there. We still have some hydrants out there that aren't breakaway. So say you ran into them in your truck.
It'd be like the movies.
It could be like the movies, right. It could be. I've actually seen hydrants break off, bend over, and leave the shaft inside and just bent over, and the hydrant way over in the corner over here, stuck in the front end of a car.
Hmm.
And then not a drip come out of it. It busted off because it was cast iron.
Yeah.
But you got lucky. I'll tell you right now. But we still have, like you saw, we have 5 or 6 hydrants over there. What I do is I wait until, like, I have an excess, a lot of money left over at the end of the year, and I might go by, call up either Roderick or Fort Lauderdale and say, hey, give me a price to replace 5 hydrants. And I'll go to a road that has any of these old non-breakaways and put 3 or 4 brand-new breakaways. Then the next year when I got a little bit, I buy a couple more hydrants at the end of the year, put them over there so that we can do this again in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So there is an unwritten maintenance there on the hydrants because they're old, non-breakaways that some of them, all the original ones have been replaced because they didn't have gates on them. So the ones that are out there now are ones that have gates so that we could actually, by rights, get in there and shut them off. I don't know who's going to stand 3 feet from a geyser to shut it off, to tell you the truth, but you can shut it off, I guess, then get over there, turn it back on, then off, then do it.
So we really went a lot of different areas here, didn't we?
Yeah. But I think that's the kind of thing that we could, and we're going to have to lean on you for that, is like, if we're going to come up with a capital improvement plan, we need to have some ideas, like, okay, 3 hydrants a year.
Yeah.
Right? And if we're looking at a 5-year window, then we need 15 hydrants we're going to need.
Yeah.
And maybe we need, if the town's pulling up 1/2 mile of road in Catuit Village a year, maybe we take a close look at those water mains every time they do that. And I don't think they're pulling up 1/2 mile.
I mean,
I don't know what they're pulling
call,
up.
Joe Warchuk is the guy who does most of the roads. He usually sends me out something, say, hey, next year we're going to do this road, this road, this road. I could ask him if he's got a 5-year plan.
Yeah.
Of roads in Catuit that he's going to be changing out that we can think about down the future to see if there's anything we can be a little above the ball, you know.
A little proactive.
Yeah.
So I got hydrants, main replacement, and building for fossil treatment.
Yeah, and I think it's important that we define that window because I don't think we want to include a new water tank, you know, if we're 60, 70 years down the road in terms of planning for a capital. But you might want to plan for painting a water tank.
Right.
Yes, that
right.
is come out. We're going to be cleaning one this year, right?
Tank. Yeah, right now they're going to be here the second.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking at the beginning of June to get here and clean that.
Because the one they put on the base off Route 130 there about 10, 15 years ago?
Yep.
They haven't done anything to it. Huge rust spots all over.
Yeah, I saw that.
Looks terrible.
I saw that, yeah. And I thought they cleaned that. They did some kind of power wash on that like 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's rust coming through from a bad paint job or what it is. That just looks horrible.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
I mean, I don't know how you guys feel, but I think you want to be a little liberal rather than conservative on the capital improvement plan, because it's just a plan. If you don't spend it, you don't spend it. It's not like you're going and asking for money based on capital improvement plan.
And that's
put it in the budget to begin with, but you want to have that report to say, look, these are some expenses that could come down the road.
Okay.
And that on them years that we don't ask for anything, could they put so much money aside for when this happens?
Right. We're going to talk about that later, right?
We are going to talk about that.
Okay.
All right. So, are we okay with the rest of that topic?
Yeah.
All right. FY 2019 budget decision. So we're all set with what we've agreed on before, right? The budget, the pay increases, the acceptance of the job descriptions and the levels and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go forward with the capital improvement for the truck and the security system.
Yes.
So part of this is going to be a presentation. A presentation at the Civic Association and quite possibly a presentation at the district meeting itself. So it's always good to have the best possible person to make giving you a dirty look there.
Look, I wasn't giving you a dirty look. I was just sitting there thinking at district meeting if they'll even allow a presentation.
Well, we get up and we explain it.
Yeah.
And if we're guys, if we're going to have guides to, you know, here, spend money to put this stuff up here.
Yeah.
Given the option, it's just a plan. We don't have to do it.
Yeah.
But anyways, the point I want to get to here is having someone to make the presentation that can do the best job of the board. I am not volunteering to do that because you get me up there with a computer and a remote control, and we'll all be confused. So I was hoping that Vic, as his swan song here with the water commissioners, could make that presentation. We can support him on it. No problem with that. But have him do the presentation for the Civic Association and can be the one that speaks up to that if there's any questions on the district floor. Again, we can all speak on that stuff, but you should be the lead. It's my idea. Is that okay with you?
No, I can agree to do that. If you all agree to look through that slideshow and see if there's things that we ought to add or delete or modify.
Yeah.
Good enough. Okay. So I think that pretty much completes our, we've made a decision on the budget. Okay. And the trench committee knows, because we spoke to them last Wednesday, I told them last Friday, that everything that we've given them is what we're going to go forward with. I found nothing in our special meeting that I found that was going to change our mind. Okay? Are we in agreement with that?
Yeah.
Okay. So, new business. Vic, you have the floor on a capital stabilization fund.
Okay. As you all know, in the town bylaws, there is a capital account that was set up for the water that stated for the water department to collect all the fees for installs and put that into a capital account. Now this goes, and I don't know the precise history, but this goes way back to when Agnes Murray was our treasurer. And for whatever reason, that capitalization account did not get, stabilization account never got set up. And I've heard different reasons, but it really doesn't make any difference at this point. I asked Jen for some names, and got a hold of the treasurer over in Mashpee, who put me on to, I think she's an assistant treasurer, Dawn Thayer. And
I know her. Yeah.
Yeah.
Her husband's a lieutenant in the fire department there.
Great lady. You know, I haven't met her in person, but I've talked to her a number of times on the phone. and she pointed me to, and you have her her emails in here, and this document, which is last thing in your packet. Yeah, and the attachment to that is information guideline release, DLF, stabilization funds. I run this by the lawyers, but my reading of this is that with a half vote, 50% of the Prudential Committee, we can set up a stabilization fund, and that fund could direct revenues into a special fund for the water department. Now that could go into a bank, it could collect interest, we could spend out of that for the purposes that we state in setting up that fund. And you can set it up very broadly, or you can set it up very narrowly. But my reading is that that stabilization fund, capital stabilization fund, can be created with just the approval of the Prudential Committee. I may be wrong on that, but I believe that's true. Any expenditures that we take out of that fund have to be approved by two-thirds of the Prudential Committee, a two-thirds vote. But, and the revenues that come into this are the ones that we suggest and are approved by half of the governing body, which I believe is the district's Prudential Committee. Anyway, I don't know whether you want to discuss that more or get down to specifics, but I've got some ideas about what that stabilization fund should encompass. And I think we ought to propose that be fairly broad in its use. And I've got some ideas about what funds should come into that. And I don't know if you want to hear those or you want to think this over, but I think it's an opportunity for the, and I think it's been an opportunity for the Water Department to, get criticized for our capital expenditures as we were last year, and two, to even out some of the bumps and the revenues from the water usage and rate increases and stuff, so that we don't go from year to year boom to bust because of water rates. But I think that we can apply this to managing the resources of the water department, have it that broad, so that if we need them to spend money on a new truck, the money will be here. If we get a need to manage our forest lands better, and we want to replant an area or do a selective cut on that area, you do some timber stand improvement, that the funds would be here to do that. And the flip side of that is, where's the revenue to fund that? And I think there's a couple of sources of revenue. I think this reads that you have to, in revenue streams, if there is one, you have to request at least 25% of that revenue stream. And I think one of the streams that we will have, although it's not going to be as robust as it was in past years, is from the antenna. And if that's around $40,000 a year, I think that it would not be unreasonable to request that 50% of that be set aside in this capital stabilization account. That money's not lost to the town, but it would be money that they wouldn't, to the district, that they wouldn't have to find when we needed to make an improvement. The other funds that I could see going in here is if you did a timber sale and you harvested some timber or firewood or whatever, that those monies be put in this account. And then if you wanted to do some land improvement, you wanted to secure an area better, put up a fence or post an area or get a survey, the funds would be here to do it. I don't think, given our spending on capital improvements, I don't think we can afford to do everything. This thing's never going to build a new water tank, but it would take some of the sting out of those expenses that occur maybe every 4 or 5 years, a new truck.
Right. If that original $600 assessment fee that was supposed to start this fund, that would be money that, instead of going to the general fund, which is the same thing, basically, with the same apples to apples here, but we're not taking it out of there every time we need something. You know, so it would be there just for that purpose, as it's in the bylaw saying it should be.
And I think it's up to us to come up with a proposal on how broad you want this in terms of what you can do with the funds. And then, some suggestions about what funding streams would build this account for us. And as Krista said, that $600 fee over the last 14 years would have brought in $110,000. But that people aren't doing building and installing new water systems, so
right.
that $600 fee, I don't know what that would bring in per year for now, but it would be very little money.
Right.
We're pretty much built out.
Right now, we're pretty much built. Yeah, we were talking about that's one of the questions we got given. I don't see any more than 5 new services happening. It's happening in a year right now.
Without
another 40B opening up someplace.
The other thing is, this is a fairly recent change in state law where they kicked the authority down to the local level. And apparently, Mashpee has several of these stabilization, the capital improvement stabilization accounts. So I did not go around to the other towns and ask them about this. And we can do that. We can take a survey. Well, you can do it.
But it's something that I think we have it in the bylaws.
Yes, we do.
That we're going to establish this fund. We haven't established this fund for whatever reason. And maybe it's because they didn't know where the revenues are going to come from. And we're just not sure how to manage that. And then there was some confusion as to whether or not we can set that fund up as a loss or roadblock that would get in our way once we set it up in terms of access to that.
Yeah.
Now we're learning that maybe that's been reduced to some extent.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a couple thoughts on this because for a while there in the past, the fire department had what they called an ambulance replacement fund, where all the money that they got by billing for each ambulance call, they kept aside in a special fund like this to buy the next ambulance that came down the road in the next 6, 7, 8 years. And but as we got busier, that fund got bigger and bigger. And then they got some question about whether or not we really had the legal ground to stand on to do that in a district, because there's a difference between a district and a town. We need to find if this applies to the charter that the district falls under. Because eventually the commissioner said, we can't do this anymore. We're just going to, it's the taxpayers' money, it's not our money. We're going to put it in the general fund. If we need something, we're going to go to the district meeting floor, and we're going to request it. And the taxpayer will have the right to say yes or no. What's going to happen with their money? And then also there was enough money that was starting to build up that became almost an issue with the State Department of Revenue, I believe it was, that we were holding back way too much money and that we needed to start getting it back into the district bank there. And so we're not carrying this big amount of money cash over here. So, and that now I'm saying that, and I'm probably getting some of my memory and stories mixed up with different things. But to go forward with this, I think we need to know if, first of all, A, we can legally do it. And try to troubleshoot any problems that may come from this. So if we go to present this and bring it forward, we have the answers to the questions that will be given to us. We have making sure it's A, legal, and B, that through the Department of Revenue we can do this. There's not going to be any problems with that. Where our revenue stream is coming from, if that diversion of money going into this account is going to affect the tax rates, because that's all, you know, you can't, money's coming in and all of a sudden it gets split up and going different directions. It has to be made up somewhere. Mm-hmm. So, oh, they're coming for us.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with it. I don't want to say no to this because I'm not saying no to it. I think we need a little bit more, a lot more information if we can do this and how it works.
This specifically mentions districts, but again, I'll repeat what I said. Yeah. I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah.
You
right.
know, and I think that's where we need to go to our legal
yeah.
advice and get some legal advice about this. And I kind of had, well, I've got a marked up copy of this. It's all highlighted and stuff that I can give you the questions that I have, Chris.
Right.
And, you know, maybe
I could always, if you wanted to take a ride over to Mark's and talk to him as a representative
yeah.
here.
I'd be happy to.
Yeah. There's no problem with that. You're allowed to do it.
Yeah. He asked me, like, talk, you know, can we go to the lawyer with this? But I'm going to talk to Chris.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, it's just, it's all questions to help
yeah.
us out. We do have him basically. He is the town council.
And he knows. He's been doing it long enough. He would know. He might even know some of the history.
Right. He might even have some of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if there are any that exist in town. That's just.
You can start with a phone call if you want, and just, you know, tell him what you're doing, or if you want, I'll call him. A lot of times it's him getting back to me. Sometimes he calls me when I'm working in the basement to inform me that he was out at lunch yesterday or over the weekend, and the person who was eating lunch with him said, "You represent the tour, don't you?" He said, "Yes." He says, "Well, you tell them that they're going to be getting a registered letter from me. I got a woman over on Roosevelt that's suing them for me."
Yeah.
So, Mr. Tromba is supposedly taking the next step over there on Roosevelt for her dirty water. Whether she, I don't know what she's suing for. I know she hasn't paid a water bill in quite a while, but we haven't sent anything to. We've kind of held things out, I believe, right, Jen? The bill, or have we just been sending this right along with comments? Okay. Have we put any lien list? She hasn't made a lien list yet. Okay. Yeah. Right. That's what Mrs. Meyer, right, okay. Sorry.
It's not a dead end, is it? It's not a dead end.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not a dead end. Last week I met with Pat about the area, going over the samples that we had taken. He's putting together a flushing plan. His woman is over there to do the development itself, to make sure that development's clean of all debris, given what the flows will be for the main, what we should be at to make sure that the water's transferred through there, and at what velocity it should be done to be accurate and clean. So he's getting that to me. And then, like I said, I just heard about this yesterday, and I haven't gotten the letter yet. I know that the guys were over there at the beginning of the month. She had something done to her hot water heater. Something was broken that she got replaced, and she said it's because of the water. Manganese doesn't rot anything out. It's not an acidic. it's got to do with, you know, if it's gunked up, it'll come out, it'll make things dirty, it'll stick to something maybe. So I don't know if she's looking for us to pay her plumbing bills, get her new appliances. I don't know what she's looking at there. So I'll let you know a little more when it comes in. I'll let you know exactly what it is. Maybe send everybody a copy of what I have.
So you have a history of communication with her,
yes,
going over there and taking, you know, some sort of proactive action.
Yeah, we've done different. We've done. We've replaced her sideline twice. We tapped it. First time was about 5 feet away, higher on the water main. The last time was I'm as far away as I can be on her property, uphill to get away, and I came across and I shot it across her yard to about 15 feet coming out of her house and hooked up to it there without digging up her flower bed and replacing the whole line and everything. And she said that it didn't seem to do any difference at all.
Well, as long as we have documentation for all we've done,
yep,
then we're doing being diligent and trying to.
And it still is, it's below state secondary contaminant levels.
But is she getting water in a bottle that looks brown?
What's that?
When she pours water into a glass jar, is it brown?
If it comes out of her hot water heater, yes. If she fills up her tub, if she has pictures of it, her tub being dirty.
Hot water heaters don't last forever.
No.
They're a container that can degrade.
Well, and the thing is with manganese, it's going to come out of suspension. If the hotter the water, the more it's going to come out. It's what acts along with the chlorine. That's putting two positives together to make everything react. And it's going to store into her hot water heater. It's going to store in anybody's. I'm sure if any one of you went home right now, turned on your tub full blast on hot, you're going to get dirty water out of it. Because you're putting out a flow that's the highest flow. There's no restriction to it. The one thing I got thinking about last night when I woke up is I wonder if she even has a pressure reducer in her house.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she has too much pressure in her house where she is. So that's another thing I have to check. I know, like I said, she has a cartridge filter in her line. She does have a sprinkler system, but according to her, she never uses it. Barely uses it at all, but her water bill says she uses it certain times a year. So she says she's alone there, but her daughter lives upstairs. I don't really know what to say.
But the neighbors on either side of her.
Guy across the street from her, directly across the street, never complained. Once she asked him if he had any problems, he said no. People on both sides have never complained. Guy across the street, nope, I'm fine.
Okay.
She's changed it out, though. And she told me that she didn't have a hot water heater, that she has a furnace. And
well,
yeah. 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 It's good. And like I said, she's a really nice woman. I when I go over there, she's very kind, you know, and she's to the point a lot, but she's a really nice woman.
Well, we are a customer service and company here.
Yeah, but I mean,
but we
just have
we
to
do
be
the
careful
best we can,
because
yeah,
we can't set precedents either. You know, she comes in saying she wants us to put a filtration system on her house. I can't.
We can't justify that.
No. You know, and she told me, she said, don't worry about it. You know, you're not going to have to deal with me. It's when I die, you're going to have to deal with my kids. Is what she kept saying to the guys. What's that?
The one that's upstairs?
The one that's upstairs, yeah. And the grandson comes to visit and lives downstairs. Because she comes down to change the filter out for her, so.
Okay.
Yeah, and you'll notice, like this time of year, right now, I'll start getting dirty water complaints because everybody's turning their sprinklers on. I can almost be guaranteed that 5 o'clock in the morning, or 4:30, 5 o'clock over at Kachua Bay Drive, there's going to be some complaints if anybody takes a shower. They're going to be like, whoa, what's going on? Because every sprinkler is going around them, and it's like someone's opening a fire hydrant. So you're going to stir the water up a little to where you've had all winter where you haven't had that big drop, demand. And every time somebody turns one on, you know, you turn on an outside faucet right above that water meter, you turn that on, that thing flows like nothing. Doesn't have an aerator on it, doesn't have a restrictor at all, and all of a sudden you'll be like, why is this coming out dirty? It's because you haven't scoured that service you have either. She's got an 8-inch that runs across in front of her house. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a 10-inch that runs one way, an 8-inch. 8-inch runs across to a 6-inch. We went through there looking. You know, we checked gates, we checked everything. You know, tried shutting gates off and opening up, reverse flushing. We've done a couple different things, and every time we think we have it, she'll call us up and say, no good. Yeah. This last time she complained, Brian went over and hooked up a hose right off the hydrant and runs it into a drain over there that's been bleeding since April 3rd, I think it was. And it's been going, he said, 2.5 gallons a minute just to keep water moving across in front of her house to see if that helps.
Okay.
I haven't been back over there to talk to her about it yet since he's had that out there.
So my guess is if we're going to receive any paperwork from an attorney, he's going to identify a problem and suggest a solution.
I'm guessing.
So
supposedly he is.
Until we get that, we don't know what that will be.
He has supposedly, she has retained the lawyer, Chuck Sabbath. I don't know if anybody knows. He's a pretty good lawyer, too. So. As a matter of fact, I believe he works out of the same office that Michael Pierce does, that I just had looking at our handbook. I think his name was on that same office place.
Okay.
So I'll be interested in seeing if I would feel like just documenting that.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. But I just, I got a heads up, so I'm giving you guys a heads up.
All right. Yep.
Every single thing that comes in for profit from the water department goes to the general fund.
All income.
All income goes to the general fund. All income from the fire department goes to the general fund. Everything goes into the one pot. And as the way Ray said it to me, when I had a couple funds here, I said, listen, I got $60,000 I want to save because I am going to be doing some cleaning there. He says, well, I want you to turn the money back in. I said, I don't want to turn it back in right now. Because if I need that money, I want it to be there. He says, you see how easily you just get your money for a tank? He says, you can ask for your money and get it easy anytime,
but
at any meeting.
Unless then you have to go through a special meeting if you need it in an emergency.
Right. And
so if we have a natural disaster,
yep. Yeah. We would hire someone to go out there and keep paying them until there are fail safes out there that if we go over budget, it'll get paid. There are certain things out there we have to inform the Prudential Committee and let them know, listen, we're in trouble right now because we had this. And they will say, okay, well, there's ways to get more money in there.
Yeah.
As we have had before.
There's a natural disaster, either hurricane.
Right.
We get some ungodly thing that causes a financial problem that we haven't expected and don't have the money to. There is money.
And sometimes it's just my guys out there doing it.
Yeah.
We're not hiring people. You know, it's my guys out there cutting down trees. A guy asking somebody to come down with a backhoe and stack them for us. You know, something like that. That's what we did with Bob was we rented a machine, and the superintendent drove a machine around picking up logs as we cut the trees up and burnt the brush or piled it up and let it rot down.
That was a lot of trees.
That was a lot of trees, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. We've had storm damage. Yeah. Yeah, it's on a contribution, yeah.
Yeah. But I also got a sense that if we're going to do anything with this forestry program, that, you know, it's going to require some money at some point in time. Whether we have to go to the district for it or whether we have it, you know, set aside already, I don't know.
At the district level, you're competing for funds, you know, with both the fire departments and also the district. And if they have something that's higher priority rather than, you know, land improvement, then you have a big increase in the district budget.
An example of a need like that is, my understanding is not in the too distant future, because what is covered now for the retirement, everyone that's retiring, was not fully funded. And they're looking at, in the future, must be pretty hard to try to make that up. Yeah. Yeah.
And if we get into a situation where we've got to deal with wastewater, the shallower, faster. I didn't mean to scare you, Chris, but I mean that's coming.
No, yeah.
I know. We got people that in the town that are pushing for that.
Yeah.
We're not going to generate enough revenue.
It's going to be more like a town thing.
Yeah. So if we can save enough money for a new.
Yeah.
I just want to clarify before I ask that timeline is work on it.
Yeah.
Something that can be meaningful to get there.
And we did receive criticism from one of the district officials for not having saved money in the capital account. And, you know, that was erroneous because we didn't have a account to save it in. That the understanding was that he did, and we were remiss because we hadn't done that.
Criticism is pretty free.
Yeah, but I think the forestry program would suffer if, and I don't even know what we want to call the forestry program, land management program.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, with anything else coming up, we can plan our meetings. And next May, the third Wednesday is the 16th, the day after the Civic Association. So, the only thing that to me appeals about that is if we go to the Civic Association and we have, you know, who knows, anything that needs to be dealt with, we can deal with, you know, address it as best we can the next night while it's still fresh. And or we can just sit back and say, what a great meeting that was. And, yeah. So we're going to meet, and it's going to be posted for the 15th as part of the Civic Association, just to make sure we're going to keep everyone happy. And then we're going to meet on the 16th. Is everyone going to be available for that? Okay, so the 16th. And then that'll be a regular meeting.
then the 30th is the district meeting. Start yawning on me. Okay. If there's nothing else we want to talk about, is there a motion to close the meeting?
Today is the 18th.
At 7:34.
I second
that motion. All in favor? Aye. Aye. Thank you.
Anyway, we're going back tomorrow and trying to get those.
Yeah, because those are.
Yeah. I was going to show you a picture here.
Yeah, I thought it was going back to the watch.
Yeah.